Hey everyone, welcome to Homer's Dope Nuts, a weekly Simpsons podcast where I, the Simpsons guy, and my co-host, El Rey, discuss and review every episode of The Simpsons ever made. We break down the episodes, discuss some of the references, and try to connect our younger listeners with the Simpsons family and how life has changed since the inception of the show over 30 years ago. We hope you enjoy it and provide feedback as we're always looking for ways to improve the show. Hi everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Hoi hoi, everyone. There's no AC at work, is murder, man.
Yeah, man.
That's our first world problem right now. Everybody.
Yes. My head is shiny enough.
Yeah.
I don't need sweat to increase the shininess of my head.
I see you at the other end of the hallway.
Man. Jesus Christ, man. It sucks.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
We'll get over it.
It's a good thing it kicked on with about 30 minutes left.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. At least we left on a semi-better note than the rest of the
Yes, day. Yes.
At least the meeting was short today.
Oh, yeah, CTL?
Yeah.
I forgot all about that. I was trying to...
That was a good thing. But, yeah. And we got the Simpsons to cheer us up, too.
Yes, yes. Another awesome episode this week. This one is titled Bart After Dark.
Yes.
With a name like that, it's got to be good. This is the fifth episode in the eighth season, and it originally aired on November 24th of 1996.
So this is the Thanksgiving episode.
Yes.
Right,
uh-huh.
The season episode. Right?
Yep.
Okay. And... That's two in a row now? No chalkboard gag?
Two in a row, no chalkboard gag.
Okay, so we'll see where that goes.
I mean, I might forgive him because it's football season and it's interferes with the
yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, understandable.
Yeah.
The couch gag, though, I have to say, is one of the Simpson guys' favorite.
Not.
We see the family, right, on the couch, but it looks just like the album cover to Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. One of the great Beatles albums.
I wouldn't call it great.
I would. It's pretty good. It's one of their better ones.
If you say so. I'll have to take your word for it.
Hey, man. I'm not a Beatles worshiper or anything, but that's a good album. Mm. So, yeah. Pretty cool. Pretty creative. It looks neat. Right?
I will say the artwork looks nice.
Yeah. And we haven't seen this really lately, right? How we start this episode. A good old episode of...
Itchy and Scratchy.
Itchy and Scratchy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Usually we don't get this. Mm-hmm. It's a nice change.
Yes, it is.
Right, so, you know, apparently they're watching the Itchy and Scratchy show because we're watching it, mm-hmm. Right? And in the TV we hear, and fight, and fight, and fight, and fight, and fight.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And just at that moment, the screen goes blank. And Bart and Lisa go, Dad! V-Chip! V-Chip!
Do you want to explain the V-chip?
I will. For those of you that don't know, or too young to know, the V-chip was like a parental control that they would have on TVs. So when certain programs would come on, you needed to like put a password in to watch that channel.
Mm-hmm. Right? If you didn't know the password, you
couldn't watch
it. You couldn't watch it. Yeah.
And Homer, who's sitting on the couch, I think he's reading something, right?
Yeah.
And you just hear, sorry, my fault. And he reaches down and he punches in the code and they get to watch their show.
Yep.
Right?
So the title of this particular Itchy and Scratchy episode is called Good Cats, Bad Choices. And it's kind of like set in one of those talk shows like Maury and...
Like Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer.
The late Jerry Springer. Right,
yes. He recently passed, right? He's one of those types of talk shows, right? Mm-hmm. And their Scratchy is a guest, right? He goes, says Mouse mistreats him, right?
And then we cut to Itchy backstage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's reading it like in shock. And the caption for him is like, feels he is the victim.
So we go back on stage. He goes on stage and he's got a broken bottle in his hand, right? And Scratchy doesn't know that a slashing is imminent or That's what the caption underneath him tells us right now.
Right. Which he reads, and then he freaks out, right? He starts freaking out. And so, Inchy comes on stage, the audience is going crazy. He raises the bottle, and just when he's going to go to town on Mr. Scratchy,
we hear an announcer. We interrupt this cartoon for a special report.
And Homer, this is one of the great reactions. He gasps because he thinks, someone found my keys.
They're really going to stop for network programming to let Homer know that someone found his keys.
In the mind of Homer, perhaps.
So then we hear Kent Brockman. It's Kent Brockman at Action News Desk. A massive tanker has run aground on the central coastline, spilling millions of gallons of oil on Baby Seal Beach.
And of course, Lisa's very upset. And she's like, oh no. And Homer tries to comfort her, right? He says, it'll be okay, honey. There's lots more oil where that came from.
I think Lisa was worried about the baby seals, right?
Of course.
By the way, have you ever seen those news reports when it's season to club the baby seals?
Yeah, not in a while, but I remember.
I remember back in the 90s. They used to come out all the time. Yeah. If you don't know who we're talking about, Google it.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that.
Yes.
That's painful.
Yes, it is. So then Kent Brockman keeps saying, the reports say that the captain was apparently drunk at the helm.
And who is the captain on this particular occasion?
Good old Captain McAllister.
Yep. And so he's there super drunk, you can tell, right?
Yep.
And he's trying to like offer $100 to somebody to take the blame for him in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. It's not going to work out too good for the captain, right? So Kent Brockman goes, a cleanup effort is already underway. And as always, the first to pitch in are the unsung heroes, Hollywood movie stars. So then they cut away to Baby Seal Beach. And who do we see?
Ran Air Wolf Castle. Cleaning a baby seal. He says, this isn't about publicity. This is about cleaning off gunk. Because, of course, we all know he's not very smart.
Yeah. And then I guess it's his girlfriend or it's another little starlet, right?
Yeah.
She goes, as a Golden Globe nominee, I think it's our duty to make the real globe a little more golden.
And as an on cue, a little egg in her hand hatches, right? And so Lisa is very happy to see this, that people are helping out. And so she tries to talk Marge into going up there to help, right?
Mm-hmm.
She says, we'd be doing our part for the environment, plus we get to clean up all those cute animals.
And Marge is like, honey, we don't need to drive 400 miles to clean animals. You can stay right here and give the dog a bath or trim the cat's nails.
And I love this little scene here because we just see Snowball 2 just cross the screen real quick on top of these super long nails.
Yep, her paws aren't making contact with the ground.
No. Looked like a Gene Simmons, like, kiss boots back in the day.
Mm-hmm. So Lisa goes, oh, Mom, please, you can make this my birthday and Christmas presents.
And Marge reminds her, you already used your birthday and Christmas presents on that peach tree we got you. And you hardly ever play with it anymore.
And Lisa goes, yes, I do. Sure, I do. Look. And she runs outside in the backyard, and she starts to frolic around the tree.
Like, rolls around it, grabs it, spins around.
And she's like, here I am on my peach tree, Mom.
And Marge is just, she lets it go for a little while, but then she finally gives in, says, all right, we'll go. And the next thing we know, we see Marge packing up the car, and she briefs Homer down. Says, now, the cat needs his medication.
No problem.
Every morning, and the furnace has been putting off.
Can do.
A lot of carbon monoxide, so keep the window open.
Gotcha.
And
cat in the furnace.
I think we'll take Maggie with us. Because the whole time he's just not listening to a word she says. Wow.
Why is he going to put the cat in the furnace? That's going to smell horribly.
Gotcha. Cat in the furnace. And I like the last thing she says right before she gets in the car. She's like, and if anything happens, just use your best judgment. Just do what I would do.
I guess she realized Homer doesn't have any good judgment.
Yep.
So next thing you know, the girls take off and the boys, Homer and Bart, are behind, right? So they're just waving goodbye. It doesn't look like they're going to miss them at all, right?
Yes, because when they get inside, Homer says, a whole week of just father and son. See you at dinner.
Homer's going to use his solo time, right?
Yep.
And Bart's like, what time?
And Homer goes back, you know, I don't know.
Shall we say 10?
All right, just wake me up.
Oh my God.
Now, I gotta say, that's pretty cool. I mean, I remember having late night dinner with my dad when I was just us, when I was a kid, so it is pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, we tend to get carried away when mom's not there.
Yeah, it's always a good time.
Mm-hmm. So later that night, Bart and Homer are stuffing their faces while watching TV.
And if you notice, they have actually brought the TV into the dining room. And yes. Sitting there at the table while they eat at the table.
Instead of sitting at the on the couch, right?
No, they're at the dinner table, but they brought the TV.
Right, so Homer, with a mouthful of food, is like, you know, Bart, I had this one.
And all we hear is Bart going, rawr, 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 rawr. He can't tell what he's saying.
Uh-huh. And the announcer from the TV goes, live from the grand ballroom of the Hattiesburg Imperial Palace, it's the World Series of Bumper Cars. What the hell are they watching?
I don't know, something late night.
It must be the Ocho.
Yes. The I Ocho. Like that they do that. Yes. It is fun. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to, we don't see Bart and Homer. We just see the restroom light on, right? And then Homer's light on in his room.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear Bart, and he says, Dad, do I have to brush my teeth?
And Homer thinks about it a little bit. He's like, no, but at least rinse your mouth out with soda.
And we hear a can open and Bart gargling. And, mm-hmm. Ugh.
I can feel my...
I wouldn't want to go to sleep
with you. Yeah, no.
No, no thanks. And then we cut to Marge and Lisa, right? And they are at Baby Seal Beach. Oil everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And Lisa's like, I'm going to rescue a baby seal. And then I'm going to save an otter.
There's a guy working there. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm sorry, but all the animals have been reserved for celebrities. Right? And just then we see our friend again. Right?
Rainier Wolf Castle.
Mr. Wolf Castle. And he says, there. And he throws a sack on the ground. That's 104 pounds of sandpipers.
It looks like he killed him.
They're not moving.
Yeah.
You see beaks sticking out of the sides of the bags everywhere.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
And Lisa's like, you mean there's nothing left to clean?
And the man says, well, there are rocks. Thousands and thousands of rocks. Big smile, right?
Uh-huh. So later that day, we see Marge and Lisa kneeling down and they're scrubbing rocks. And Marge's like, I've got rocks that need washing at home.
She's probably serious.
She is. We tend to forget, just because she's the sane one in the family, sane adult in the family, she's a square.
Yes, and she does go crazy at times.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so we cut back to the house, and we see Bart and Homer sitting on the couch, and Homer throws a beer, right, and it's just on the floor, and we see the floor of the house, and it looks bad. There's looks trash like everywhere.
It looks like a landfill.
Yes, it does.
Now, this has been one day.
Yep.
And the house already looks like a landfill. Mm-hmm. Right? And Homer's like, geez, look at this place. We got to do something.
And Bart says, garbage angels?
And they both throw themselves on their backs, and they start flailing their arms and legs to make little angels in the garbage.
Yeah.
Would you like just jump on garbage without
no. Absolutely not.
No.
And so later on, right, Bart's not feeling too well because there's carbon monoxide all over the house at this point.
Uh-huh.
And he says, Dad, I think I need some fresh air. Can I go to the park? So Homer asks him, do I have to sit up?
Bart's like, no.
And he says, knock yourself out, right?
Yep.
Man, Homer.
He's going to stay there in the house full of carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
At least Bart is going to go outside and get that fresh air. Jeebus.
Yep.
So next thing we know, we're at Springfield Park, and Milhouse is showing off his remote controlled plane, right? And
which should be cool, by the way.
It should be. It should be. Right? Bart and Nelson are there and they're watching him, right? The plane just flies past them and comes back and goes past them and comes back. And it's just flying really slow and steady, right? And Bart's like, Milhouse, this is boring. Make it crash or something.
And Milhouse says, well, perfectly level flying is the supreme challenge of the scale model pilot. And Nelson's had enough at this point. He takes the remote, right? And he makes it do loops and all kinds of barrel rolls everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently Nelson's pretty good at this because we see Martin and Ralph, two opposite ends of that coin. Right,
intelligentsia there. Yeah, spectrum.
Nelson, yeah. And it starts flying at them like in an old action movie.
Like, we're trying to strafe them, you know,
yeah.
Old World War II things. Mm-hmm. And Martin's like, ah, it's gaining on us.
And Ralph says, I'm battling backwards. Like, oh, God.
No wonder they're not going anywhere, right?
Yep.
And, but along the way, one Senor Burns has an encounter with the plane as well.
They're sitting in the park, right? Like they're having a picnic or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he tells Smithers, I don't like being outdoors, Smithers. For one thing, there are too many fat children.
And this is when the plane bounces off of Smithers' head and it winds up, goes back up, and it crashes on top of this old house. And it seems kind of menacing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And the fence says, no trespassing on it.
And so Milhouse is like, thanks a lot. Now it's stuck on that haunted house.
Nelson's like, I heard a witch lives there.
And Ralph is now joining. He's like, I heard Frankenstein lives there.
And Milhouse is like, you guys are way off. It's a secret lab where they take brains out of zombies and put them in heads of other zombies to create a race of super zombies.
And Nelson goes, that's the house?
Makes me wonder what the hell these kids in Springfield
kind of stories they invent. That's one hell of an urban legend.
Okay, I was kidding, man. Bart isn't impressed. He walks in and he doesn't walk in, right? But he walks up to the door, the gate?
Yeah.
He presses the button and it rings, right? And then we hear the intercom come on. Go away! No children!
Right. But Bart's not going to be deterred because he's Bart.
Uh-huh.
And so he says, says screw it, right? He goes and he climbs a tree. He jumps off on the roof and he grabs the plane. He starts showing off and he sings his little famous song here. S-U-C-C-E-S-S, that's the way you spell six. And right before he finishes, he slips, falls down the roof, hits a gargoyle,
uh-huh.
A stone one, and crashes to the ground.
Yep.
Right? Now he's holding on the rain gun.
For dear life.
Yeah.
And while he's there with both hands, right, we see a little caterpillar mm-hmm. go across his fingers. And that tickles him and causes each individual finger to start losing grip.
Yeah. And he's laughing about it, right? Like, no, help. I'm going to die. Now, here's the thing, though. It went over one of his hands.
He could have put the other one back.
And then just put it back.
Yeah.
But I guess.
Yeah, Bart's not thinking. But he somehow manages to survive the fall. But as he's getting up, the proprietor, the lady of the house comes out in a dress and what appears to be a cape also, right? The lighting hits her just right as Bart is looking up to her, so she does look like a witch. And she grabs him by the ear.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh no, the witch has Bart.
Martin's like, we've got to hurry.
And they take off, right?
Uh-huh.
And so the old lady now at this point has taken Bart and she rings the doorbell at, of course, the Casa de Simpson.
And she's still holding on to his ear.
Yeah, she's still grabbing him.
And we hear Homer, just a minute, and we hear the paper tearing, right? Mm-hmm. And he opens the door. Hello?
And so this lady, whose name is Belle, by the way,
mm-hmm.
she says, your son was trespassing on my property and destroyed a very valuable stone gargoyle. And our are you wearing a grocery bag?
And yes, he is wearing a grocery bag, a paper grocery bag. And he says, I have misplaced my pants.
Right. And so Homer doesn't really seem too upset or whatever with Bart has done.
Mm-hmm.
Until this lady threatens that, you know what, maybe I should talk to his mother.
And Homer is terrified of this, and he promises to handle it himself.
But he tries to be all, like, regal about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, rest assured, ma'am, the boy will be disciplined.
Mm-hmm. He does. He tries to play it off cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I don't know how to punish you. What does Marge usually do?
She makes me taste beer.
Homer's like, come on, boy. Give your old man a little credit. And this is when the bag tears open and groceries fall to the floor. So his ass and crotch were making contact
with all the groceries. Disgusting.
Yes.
And so Homer comes up with a solution, and the next thing we know, he is dropping off Bart in front of the mansion. Right? He says, now you're going to do chores for that lady, so you work off the damage you did. It's called responsibility. And he takes off, hits the mailbox, screams, backs up, and takes off.
So much for responsibility.
So much for responsibility. Rules for thee, not for me.
Mm-hmm. So the lady lets him in, and Bart's like, I can't believe I got to spend my free time dusting doilies in a smelly, run-down dump for a creepy old witch. And in the background, we see a lot of beautiful women who are not wearing much.
Yes.
And they're dancing and prancing, doing the can-can. And people are gambling also, right? And Bart sees all this and turns around and says, lady, I gotta tell you, I've been grossly misinformed about witches. Oh my God.
Yep. And so, yes, you see, we end the scene with the girls dancing in front of the camera, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we see Bart, and he's like, wow, man, what is this place?
And Belle's like, I prefer not to be called man. My name is Belle. And this is the Maison Derrière. That means the back house.
Yeah.
No, it's the House of Ass.
Yes, the House of Ass.
Now, I got to stop and tell you a little story, right? So this is about 10 years ago. I just happened to be on Facebook, right? And a friend of mine graduated from La Porter with me is in Austin. And she's like posting, does anybody know of a good, what do you call these establishments?
Burlesque house?
Yeah, does anybody know of a burlesque house near Austin? And I saw the post, it was like 10 seconds ago. Oh, okay, so I jumped right in. I put the Maison Derrière. And she asked me, hey, have you been there? Is it cool? Oh, yeah, I've been. It's really, it's awesome.
Good. trolling.
Yes, I was trolling.
You had to use it.
I did.
Exactly.
What other time could I have that opportunity?
That just set up for you, man.
It's called Kismet, right? It was just Kismet right there.
Opportunity knocks. It doesn't beg.
No, it does not.
And so, yes, the Maison Derrière. And so she says it's a private club, right? A burlesque house where gentlemen can play some cards and see a show.
And then we see a girl from the Around the World show, right, come out. And she's asking for, I guess, Monte Carlo needs her dice.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And she reaches into a little trunk and it's a bra, right?
Yes.
It looks like dice. And so Bart's just like, by seeing this.
Uh-huh. And Belle's like, normally we don't allow children in here. But your father was so insistent.
He says, he's tough. But fair. I'll start sorting these bras.
And Belle's like, that's a bit advanced for you. But I know a stopped up sink that needs some attention.
And Bart grabs a plunger and a pail, right? She gives it to him and he's like, hey, just happy to be on the team.
Hey man, if I were 10 years old and I ran into that, I'd be happy to be on that team
too.
Yes, sir. Right? So next thing you know, Belle is introducing Bart to other things that he has to do, right? It's like, when you work the door, the main thing is to greet the visitors and toss out troublemakers.
It's like, yo, greet and toss. No problem.
And so Belle goes, how did I ever get along without you?
So apparently Bart's fitting right in working with this lady.
Uh-huh. He's a very eager and helpful employee.
And so we get to one of the greatest scenes in Simpsons history.
Memes also. One of the greatest memes also.
And we see one Abraham J. Simpson wearing a hat and a coat, right? Uh-huh. Whistling. He's whistling. He takes off his hat and hangs it. And then
he's taking off his coat.
Walks towards Bart. He sees Bart and goes, whoop, and turns right around, grabs his hat, puts it back on, fixes his coat, and walks right out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then?
He sticks his head back in and says, is your name Bart?
It's got to be embarrassing as a grandpa right there, right? Yep. And Bart's like, uh-huh.
And he freaks out, like, what the? Does your father know you're working here?
Bart goes, it was his idea.
The grandmother takes off his hat and hangs his coat and says, in that case, I'll have a whiskey sour. Watch inside.
All shame is gone.
Yeah. Homer knows he's there. Well, okay.
Uh-huh.
So, I love that.
I know. Bart.
In that instance, I can't blame him for, like, am I going really senile?
Am I losing marbles more than I thought, right? And then we cut back to the girls, right? And we see Marge and Lisa and Maggie scrubbing oil-covered rocks.
Yes.
So Lisa goes, oh, there's something unsatisfying about scrubbing these rocks. And I think I know what it is.
And a wave of water comes up with a new coat of oil on all the clean rocks.
Mm-hmm. And Marge goes, Lisa, I know it's frustrating, but we made a commitment, and we have to see it through, no matter how unpleasant.
Yeah. And so the cleanup guy drives up and says, quitting time. Okay, scrub up and head for the communal tarp. We're having kelp burgers, and we're going to watch a tape of Johnny Arvey. He's the Eskimo comedian.
And, of course, even Marge doesn't like the sound of that. Who wants to eat kelp burgers? No, thank you. So they run to their car and they drive off, and Lisa yells, faster, Mom, faster!
Yep. So they're done with this, right? We cut back to the Maison Derrière.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Belle hangs up the phone. She looks upset.
Mm-hmm.
Tells Bart, that was our MC, Mel Zitz. He got out of bed too fast and broke his hip.
And Bart's like, so who's going to warm up the crowd tonight?
Well, whoever fits Mel's tuxedo. And she brings it up, it's Tiny, right? So, of course, Bart fits. Mm-hmm. We just hear him go, eep.
Yeah. Apparently, Mel Zitz is a little folk.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. So Belle goes, the jokes are in the breast pocket. If you get in trouble, there's a switch that makes the bow tie spin.
She flips it, you see it start going in circles, right?
Uh-huh.
And Bart's on stage, nervous, which is weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's reading these jokes, and he's like, "Heh, nudist colonies are everywhere these days. I'd love to go, but I can't get the wrinkles out of my birthday suit."
And then we hear the...
Yeah, and people start laughing.
Yes.
They're like dying out there.
Uh-huh.
And he looks at the card again, he's like, "Okay, but I gotta tell you, Adam and Eve must have been the first bookkeepers. They invented the loose leaf system." And then everybody laughs. It's like, if there's a bookkeeping joke I haven't heard, Like, there's a bad bookkeeping joke I haven't heard, right?
Yeah.
Which, who makes a bookkeeping joke?
Bookkeepers?
Yes.
We wouldn't be able to relate.
Nah, I don't get that one.
Well, did you see Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Well, when all those accountants thought that...
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Oh, that Michael Scott, or somebody makes one in the office. He's reading someone else's birthday card.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just fudge the numbers.
Yes.
Oh, I don't
know. Yes, yes.
Fair enough, Bart. Good point.
Mm-hmm. So we go back to the Casa de Simpsons, and the announcer goes, "It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?" Now, guys, today they wouldn't understand because they don't watch TV.
Yeah.
They stream everything. But back in the 90s, that would be a thing. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Why? You know why? Because we were never home.
That's true.
We were always outside the house.
That's true.
Right? Most of the time, we would come in when it was dark. But once they started putting the lights out, the city put the light poles up, we stayed out.
That's true.
Yeah, we stayed out.
That's true. We played basketball well into the night. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I do remember those commercials. Man. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. Showed you how much we were parented back in the 90s.
And so Homer gets upset, right? He's like, "I told you last night. No." He's like, "Where is Bart anyway?" He's got a TV tray next to him with a portion of dinner. He's like, "His dinner's getting all cold and eaten."
Because he's eating it, right?
He's picking at it, yeah.
So Homer drives to the Maison Derrière. He barges inside. He's like, "Bart, where are you? Come on. I have to be up at 6 a.m. to swipe Flanders newspaper." That's the only reason to get up early to steal his paper. So
he looks at the wall, right?
Uh-huh.
And there's like there's a picture of President Eisenhower celebrating his 40th wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Not pictured, Mrs. Eisenhower. But it's him sitting with all the girls, right?
Yep. And then Belt says, "I'm sorry, this is all my fault. Bart was filling in for..."
Homer says, "I don't care if he was filling in for Mel Zetz. He's my son, and I don't want him working." And then he looks into the next room, and we see, what's her name, right?
Jasmine, Princess Jasmine?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever her name is. Uh-huh. So late that...
And then Belt says, "Oh, I agree. Kids need rules and boundaries," right? Apparently Homer was getting mesmerized by the girls.
Yeah, he's like, "Yes.
Princess Opal."
There you go.
Princess Opal.
And yes, everyone loves rules.
And Belt's like, "It's so tough to be a parent these days with all the gangs and the drugs."
Oh, yeah. Drugs. You gotta have drugs. And Homer just walks into the room, right, to go watch.
So he wants to see the girl with a fan, Princess Opal, right? And Bart's like, "Hey, he didn't pay the cover."
And Bell says, "Oh, Bart, he's your father. We'll comp him tonight. Start a tab tomorrow." Fair enough. At least he gets comp, right?
Yep. Now, I wonder if they're going to comp the drinks too. I think so, because the tab is going to be open.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's it.
That's your father. That's very nice of Bell.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. And next thing we know, we see another great scene. Principal Skinner comes in, and he didn't see the new doorman, apparently, right? Because he's working on the coat rack, right? He's like, "Oh, I hope I didn't miss the floor show."
And Bart says, "Nope."
"Is Roxanne back?"
"Yep."
"Did she get my flowers?"
"She did."
And then Skinner notices Bart. He says, "Hello, Bart."
"Hello, Principal Skinner."
And Skinner goes, "This is the National Air and Space Museum, isn't it?" Why would that girl be working at the National Air and Space Museum? And why would she have gotten his flowers?
I know, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. And so we come back to the Simpsons house, right? After this awkward exchange, Homer answers it, and it's, oh, boy. It's not only the Flanders. Mm-hmm. But the Lovejoys as well. So all the Holy Rollers are here.
Yep, the God Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And Homer goes, "This is going to be about Jesus, is it?"
Do you remember, just all things are about Jesus, Homer, except this. Your son has been working in a burlesque house.
And then Helen jumps in. "Principal Skinner saw him with his own eyes."
And Skinner is like behind the river. He's like, "That's true. But I was only there to get directions on how to get away from there."
So Homer tells him he's already well aware where his son is working.
And Ned's shocked, right? Like, "Homer, I'm as permissive as the next parent. I mean, just yesterday I let Todd buy some Red Hots with a cartoon devil on the box. But you can't possibly think it's appropriate for your 10-year-old son to work in a burlesque house."
And Homer goes, "Oh, no. Well, if Homer Simpson wants his 10-year-old son working in a burlesque house, then Homer Simpson's 10-year-old son is going to work in a burlesque house. That!
And as the God Squad moves out of the way, Marge is there.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, ah, hi, now Marge, you're going to hear a lot of crazy talk about Bart working in a burlesque house.
Hey, that was a nice attempt at a save.
Yes. Like, oh, my God. He's so busted. He's so busted.
And so Marge is looking at the little matchbooks they give away, right, from the Maison Derrière. Mm-hmm. She is freaking out, right? That such a place exists in her town. It's like, Homer, did you know it was a burlesque house when you sent Bart to work there?
And then Homer's like, no, I only learned that 4 days ago.
And Bart's like, what were you thinking, sending Bart to such an awful place?
I was trying to punish him, exactly like you would. So, in a way, you really dropped the ball on this one. This is your mess, and I'll be damned if I'm going to clean it up.
You got to give it to Homer on that one, man.
Hey, hey, hey. You do have to hand it to him. This is how the girls usually get rid of us.
Yeah.
They turn it back on us.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Doesn't work, though.
No.
So Marge shows up at the Maison Derrière, mm-hmm. right? And she's basically tries to tell Belle what's what.
Yeah.
Then, you know, close down the house and move away, please.
Yep.
So she says, Springfield doesn't want places like this.
And Belle's like, I think I know what Springfield wants, sugar.
And so she goes, oh, I've lived in this town for 37 years.
And Belle's like, I've lived here for 52 years.
I'm third generation.
Sixth.
Get out of my town! She
can't take it, right? No, she cannot. So then Belle just goes, well, we're just as much a part of Springfield as the church, the library, or the crazy house.
And so she basically says, you know, like, neighbor,
mm-hmm.
I'm here. Like, I'm here to stay, right?
Yep.
And Marge tries to go, you know, back at her and says, well, sleazy entertainment and raunchy jokes will never be as popular as sobriety and self-denial.
Again, Marge is a square.
Yes, she is. And then she warns her, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're about to learn the two most dangerous words in the English language are Marge Simpson. And then she takes off.
Mm-hmm. So then later, we had a town meeting, and Diamond Joe Quimby, the mayor, right, we hear him, and after visiting the area for the past 2 months, I've determined it is not feasible to conduct a super train between Springfield and Aruba.
And he takes off his sunglasses, right? He's got the tan line and everything.
Uh-huh.
And the audience is like, ah.
And he goes, next on the agenda is the Citizens Committee on Moral Hygiene.
Ah, you hear everybody crawl.
Uh-huh.
And so we see Marge and the God Squad on stage, right? And so Marge says, I'm here to share my moral outrage. But this time it's not about that giant inflatable Dos Equis bottle. It's about a certain house in our town.
And Mo's like, yeah? Well, what's wrong with this house? Is it the plumbing?
Like, Marge says, no. It's a house of ill fame. A house of loose ethics.
And Ken Brock is like, is there a building code violation? A drainage issue? A surveying error?
And Marge is annoyed. She's like, the house is perfectly fine.
And then Chief Wiggins is like, well, then quit bad-mouthing the house.
And Autumn, yeah, leave the house alone. I love how everybody turned on her.
Yes.
That was hilarious.
Oh, God. Right, so Marge is like, she's talking about the burlesque house, a place of drinking, gambling, and debauchery.
And the audience gasps.
Uh-huh.
And Quimby says, people, this is an issue that we as a town are strong enough to ignore. Let us give no more scrutiny to this body house and its small clientele of loyal perverts.
And Reverend Lovejoy goes, I'm afraid this problem goes far beyond Eugene and Rusty. And then we see those two pervy-looking guys.
Yeah, they even make them a different color and stuff. Yeah. They look all weird.
Yeah. They're just kind of like laughing uncomfortably.
And so Marge has pictures.
Yes.
Right? So we have a slideshow right? And it's covered, they have a little black square over their eyes to hide their identity, but everybody knows who they are, right?
Uh-huh.
And so we see the first slide, and it's Dr. Hibbert.
He's wearing the same sweater.
Yep.
And Mrs. Hibbert goes, Julius!
And then the next slide is Chief Wiggum.
Mrs. Wiggum goes, Clancy!
The next slide is Skinner.
And Chalmers goes, Skinner?
And Agnes goes, Seymour!
Seymour's just like, Mother!
And then we see Patty.
And someone goes, Patty?
And then we see Cletus.
Brandine goes, Cletus!
And then we have Barney. And no one says anything. I love this scene so much.
And then Mo kind of looks around and is like, oh, Barney! Oh, my God.
And then we see Wiggum.
And Miss Wiggum goes, Clancy!
And Wiggum's like, hey, come on, you did me twice.
And then we see Smithers.
And we hear Bert, Smithers?
And Smithers like, my parents insisted I give it a try, sir. Oh,
yeah. And then we hear, and we see Quimby, right, wearing his sash that says mayor.
Mm-hmm. And then Luann Van Houten goes, Mayor Quimby?
He was like, oh, well, that could be any mayor.
That's a nice one. He tried to play that one.
Right. He says, well, in light of these new facts of which I now realize I was largely aware, I must take action. All in favor of demolishing our beloved burlesque house, raise your hands.
And not many people do until the God Squad, the Citizens Committee on Moral Hygiene, turn around and stare at them all.
And all the hands pop up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love this scene right here because Jasper's kind of confused and he whispers to Ames, like, are they talking about the bordello?
And Ames like, no, the burlesque house. So just keep your mouth shut.
They both put their hands up, right?
Yes.
So apparently there's a bordello somewhere in Springfield.
Yes, it's a seedy little town.
Right, as long as they don't take the bordello. Give them the burlesque house.
Yes.
That's terrible.
So it doesn't take very long for a mob to form and show up in the front of the Maison Derrière.
Right. Skinner's like, oh, there's no justice like angry mob justice.
Now, why would Skinner do this to himself? The girl that he wants works there.
Yeah, but the girl that controls him, he ain't gonna let that happen.
That is true. But he didn't have to start this.
I know.
Such a square. So Lenny goes, I'm gonna burn down all the historic memorabilia.
He says, I'm gonna take me home a toilet.
And Willie's like, well, there better be too.
And so Ned rings the doorbell. And Belle answers, who is it?
And Ned's like, it's an angry mob, ma'am. Could you step outside for a twinkle while we knock down your house?
He goes, just a minute. And so Reverend Lovejoy pries open the gates. The mob walks in. And Belle is there with all the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They walk out of the house. And so they kind of start going back and forth.
No.
And the crowd begins to tear apart the house.
Right? And Bart says, Dad, you got to do something.
It's like, my friends, stop.
So the mob stops.
Yes. And we see Hans, he's holding a flaming arrow. And he's just like, please hurry. And Homer says, sure, we can tear this house down. And the mob just starts going at it again.
And Homer goes, no, my friend, stop. Let me finish. Because they were about to tear everything down.
Mm-hmm. And so Homer basically says, if they destroy the burlesque house, they're destroying a part of themselves, right? And they actually have a whole musical scene here.
Yep.
About how great the burlesque house is.
I like the very last line when the kids go, we just learned this place existed.
Oh, it's a Kearney.
Dolphin.
Yeah.
So yeah. Great.
And it's a great song, guys. We wouldn't do it justice.
No,
it's
we
very
would
show tunish, so you know, we don't have the resources to do that.
That or the range.
Yeah, the no. range is a problem. Usually we can fade through some. But
not this one.
Not that one, right?
So Ned goes, the song was so good. Ned goes, well, I'm convinced the house stays.
Yep. And Lovejoy is like, this is a very, very, very fine house. Which I wonder if someone's a, I think it's a Bread fan.
That song, right?
Oh, no, wait, no, I'm sorry. I think it's Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Our house.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house. Uh-huh. So, there you go, right? Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
So, Marge arrives, and she's on a bulldozer. Mm-hmm. And she's like, here I come, everybody!
And everybody gets in front of her, like, stop, right? And I was like, what are you doing, Marge? Didn't you hear the song?
And Marge's like, no, I had to go rent the bulldozer.
Ned tells her, well, we all change our minds.
William's like, yeah, we now love the house.
And Marge's like, what about the sleaze and the depravity?
And Helen Lovejoy was, it was a very convincing song, Marge.
Skinner, mm-hmm. There were kicks and everything.
And Marge's like, oh, can you sing it again?
And Ned's like, I'm sorry. It was really one of those spur of the moment type things.
And Marge's like, well, I also have a song to sing.
Just then, Hans has lost his grip on the arrow, and you see it fly by Marge's head.
He's like, don't make up your mind until you hear both songs, right? And she starts clearing. And of course, she's got a horrible voice, just like me, right? And she starts singing, morals and ethics and carnal forbearance.
And then she walks into the brake lever of the bulldozer, and it just goes down part of the left side of the house and just tears it apart.
Mm-hmm. And Marge's like, sorry?
And Lovejoy's like, thanks a lot, Marge. That was our only burlesque house.
And Belle's like, I do love it when you drop by, Marge. Next time, why don't we get together at your house?
And Marge is like, I'm sorry, right? Like, how could I possibly ever make it up?
And so next...
Marge jumps in and says, oh, there's a way, Mom.
So next thing we know... Whatever was left of the Maison Derrière, right? All of the employees are now. We see Marge on stage doing a ventriloquist act.
Yes, so she has a miniature version of herself, right? Yeah, I love the end of this episode. So she's on stage and she has her little dummy. There's like, so, Twiggy, I hear you and your husband, Woody, just had a baby. What'd you name him?
And Twiggy goes, chip.
And Homer's in the crowd just says, take it off.
And Bart, who's working as a bouncer now, says, all right, Dad, you've been warned. Let's go.
He grabs Homer by the hand and tosses him out, right?
Uh-huh. And oh my God. At the very end, guys, they don't play the usual song.
Yes.
They do an instrumental of the We Put the Spring in Springfield song.
Yes, the one that Marge missed.
Uh-huh.
And that's how we end the
episode. Yes. Oh, my God. This was such a good episode.
It's one of I can't stop laughing at the end of this episode.
I know, man. I can't.
Take it off. It's just so funny, man.
I mean, I just love this one so much. I'm smiling most of the time when I'm watching this damn show. Man, it is an awesome episode.
It doesn't really get any better than this, guys, when it comes to The Simpsons.
No.
It rarely gets any better than this.
I mean, Bart's working in a
burlesque
house surrounded by beautiful, scantily clad women. And Homer insists that he works there.
Yeah.
He runs into his grandpa there. He runs into his principal there.
The whole town's there.
Yep.
Oh, man.
It is a seedy little town.
Such a great episode.
It is. So, do I even need to ask you?
No, we know this. If we can do anything beyond 5 donuts, this is one of those that we would do.
Yes, this is in my top 5 all-time Simpsons episode. Definitely. This is one of those episodes, no matter how many times you see it, you're going to sit down and you're going to watch it.
Yeah. Again, and it works. It's one of those that even if you don't know the lore, you can watch that episode and just laugh.
Yes.
It's just so well written.
Yeah, I mean, even the inappropriate jokes, I'm like, oh my God. There's no way you couldn't enjoy anything about this episode.
And the main plot is so good that you forget how funny the subplot is, that all of Lisa's hippie stuff just backfires on her in this episode.
Uh-huh.
It's super funny.
Because she wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Let Homer and Bart do their own devices. And this is the shenanigans that they got into.
Yep.
Ugh, what's not to love about
this? It's such a great episode.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
There's really not much we can, right?
I know.
It's good writing, all the character incorporation.
Yeah. If I keep talking, I'm just going to mess up the vibe.
Yeah.
And what you got in your crock pot is smelling kind of good right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's making me hungry. So I think it's almost time to bounce.
Yes, sir.
All right. Don't forget to follow us on our official show Instagram. That's official_Homers_donuts without the apostrophes. Give us a follow on there. We post original memes. If you guys can think of a way we can make this show better for you, drop us a note on there, right? Mm-hmm. We like it. We'll use it. And if we keep using it, we'll give you credit for it every time we do that little segment.
Indeed we will.
Yes. And until next time, au revoir, suckers.